So the Zen tradition doesn't work with stages. And Buddha nature is present everywhere and expresses itself in all things. And so how can there be any stages? Yet, we cannot deny that there is a development in training. Is there still somebody who is not muted? So, as far as a Zen trainee is concerned, they're always where they are, here, and as things are now. And, but that doesn't mean speaking about stages is totally unhelpful. It can have, it can give us some direction, because obviously the way we start training is not the same mind as when we have seriously been on the path for some time. When we start off training, we can be keenly aware of suffering in our lives. And we may think this world is a world of suffering. And yet, when we start to train, there is something aware of a call, of something present that we intuit, but no idea what it is. And there is the precious mirror calling. And we answered that call by looking at it. And yes, we may see lots of dust and mud on the mirror. And there is a light, because without this empty light, we wouldn't be able to see the mirror or look into it and see the illusions and the suffering in it. So we take action in Zen by starting to sit and meditate, which is answering the call and which is looking into the mirror. And of course, we first do that purposefully when we go sit, meditate alone with others. Mostly within a path, for example, the Buddhist path, and in our case, the Soto Zen path. Looking and studying this mirror, we discover that a lot of suffering comes from our own actions and our thoughts. So we look seriously. We trust there is another way to look at existence. We basically already trust that life, existence, is in fact not an existence of suffering. Then when we are really on this path of meditation, precepts, self-reflection, we understand our habits of thought, speech and mind, and see how they contribute to the suffering. And we really commit ourselves to following the call to do what is good and not what we wish or fear. So we don't let ourselves be ruled by our desires and our fears and ourselves. We do pay attention to the clouds in our minds that still show themselves. But we already know some emptiness. And we really start to trust that mirror. Then we move into a third stage, if you can speak about that, where compassion and wisdom are more in view. We understand that There is a compassionate stillness at the core of our being. And we start to trust the heart of the universe. So we are no longer so concerned with self. And there is no longer so much fear to let go. But although the illusions are no longer so visible, it doesn't mean they're totally gone and don't have influence anymore. And from here, we move into a deep understanding of emptiness, wisdom, and compassion. And we realize that we really don't know anything. There is great emptiness. And yet nothing is missing. So Reverend Master Diu spoke of the fullest emptiness she knew. And you may think that should then be the last stage, but no. There is a progression into returning to the world with empty hands, but back to the marketplace as a bodhisattva who doesn't live for themselves, but for others and for the good of the universe. And in this stage, there is an identity of vexation and wisdom. Well, that will be hard to imagine, and it is hard to describe because they're no longer the same kind of ways or reference points to describe this. So now I have given you a description of these five stages. And Tozan is explaining them with three trigrams of the I Ching. I Ching being a deeply Chinese cultural book and way of looking at the world. And a trigram are three lines. Yeah, trigram, three lines. The scripture speaks about the double trigram, which means twice this three lines. And I will hold up to the screen the double Li trigram for you. You see, there are straight lines, whole lines, and broken lines. Generally, the whole lines represent the young and activity, and the broken lines, the yin, the stillness.
We can't see it, Reverend Hakuin.
You cannot see it?
Yeah, you need to hold it further back. That's better, yeah.
Oh, I thought close to the screen. No, can you see it now? Well, don't worry. I mean, I sent you the document, and this is only black and white without red in it, and it is very, it's very clear. But the trigrams, they start with one on top, one below, which is a whole line with a broken line on top. And then that changes into a broken line at the bottom and then a whole line on top. And that changes into, again, a whole line with a broken line on top. So you see, they switch from the one side to the other. And the bottom one is represented by this circle, which is black, mainly black, and then the bottom is white. Speaking about our world of suffering and illusion, which is foremost, that changes into the second circle, where there is a lot of emptiness and light, and there's also still some illusion and misunderstanding. And that changes into the third stage, in which we said there is a lot of emptiness, but there is still influence of what is not quite wisdom yet. There are still illusions which have their influence, and that is that little black circle. And you can imagine it's black, which is, if it were a ball, there is a white ball around it, so you cannot see it. So it is there. And when we sit quietly, we can be aware of some, but that don't rule our lives. But they still have some influence, these misunderstandings. And so then we come to here the totally empty circle, which is a deep understanding of emptiness, compassion, and wisdom. Which I said is not the last stage, because we have the fifth, which is totally black. And that is because in this life, wisdom and illusion have an identity. Illusion can be wisdom, and wisdom can be illusion. The main thing is, I speak about this, and but it is best not to give it too much thought, because the last stage, it will develop so naturally when you no longer have your personal desires, but it is a life of giving. Giving to the universe. And no strategies. Openness. And I cannot say, you cannot even speak about it from experience. I've asked monks, and they say, well, we cannot speak about it from our experience, because there are no kind of comparisons you can make. And I think Rav Master Daishin uses the word reference points. Well, all this, fine, you have, this gives you now the background for the next various verses. And that's the five positions, the five stages or ranks don't come up so often, but it is being pointed at from time to time. And they're usually being pointed at in some of the Soto Zen texts. And of course, we haven't heard of that very often, but in this scripture, it's good to know about these stages. It is generally maybe helpful, although it is always what do you say, seducive or seductive? What do you say? It can seduce us to actually think, oh, in what stage am I in? And yes, and we cannot see that. And also, the one interesting thing is that these stages don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They may all appear at the same time. There may be 1, 4, 2, 5, 3. That is a very individual situation, how this will develop for a person. So the best thing is, you have heard me try to say something about it, and keep it in mind, for especially for the next few verses, because this idea of there being five five minds of the one mind, the five stages or developments of the one mind, that idea comes back in the following several verses. And here he starts, when stacked, six sticks of reed forever move in mutual relations in extremes and center. Extremes and center, absolute and manifestation. Manifestation and absolute. Stacked three times, return again to the first pattern after changes five. There is a development, maybe five changes, and then we find ourselves back in the beginning. Then we get, as the five tastes of the chakras seems, and as the diamond scepter's branches five, the absolute upright holds, as it is, many phenomena within its own delicate balance. We had the five sense organs of the baby, which are five expressions of mind. And the five tastes of the chakras, we have tentatively translated that into Dutch as the five tastes of ice cream. Just imagine eating ice cream with five flavors. What are you eating? Is it chocolate? Is it hazelnut? Is it vanilla? Or no, it's ice cream. And that cheatgrass has five tastes. That is also so in our training. Our training has those five stages taste. And sometimes it is, okay, stage three taste, and then it may have stage two taste. And within whatever development of training, there always is this one mind and the true. I don't say here that we are going all the way back to the beginning of where we started, but it can sometimes look like it. And therefore, it's best to always be where you are and not to kind of look back, even if you have had a very enlightening experience. When at this moment you do feel some suffering, this enlightening experience is at this point not here, and it is a memory. So it cannot be grasped and kept. So in a way, we always start as a beginner with what we have. So the cheatgrass has five tastes and the diamond scepters branches five. If you hold that diamond scepter in your hand and turn it round, there always is a center. And however it turns, it has this center. And it's especially the diamond scepter. Now, I forgot to bring one down. You know the Vajra, which you can turn it whatever side and it always looks the same. So there is always an upright, an absolute upright. As it is, and then many phenomena within its own delicate balance. So it is just like the six lines of the hexagram fire, wherein phenomena and real intermingle. Stacked up, there are three pairs of combinations. The whole transformation is completed with the fifth. It is like the cheatgrass, yeah, the Shisandra plant, which has five flavors, or the diamond scepter, which has five prongs. The real is held within the subtle. Drum and song arise together. So the real is held within the subtle. There is maybe it stimulates thought, this explanation, and you can use it to reflect. But in practice, what it gives is the sense that the true is always present. Whatever your mind state and whatever your circumstance. That may sometimes be hard to get when you feel depressed and maybe a bit angry. The truth is held within that. And we know that because that's why we go sit and look at anger and depression and whatever the trust that there is a truth there. Just as it is. It doesn't need to change into something beautiful for us or to be true. It is true just as it is. And so this gives you a little taste of the fifth stage, where there is identity of illusion and enlightenment. And this is the beauty of our meditation practice, that intuitively we can know this in the beginning and throughout our training.